Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I want you to stand up and welcome Mark Levesque.
Sorry. I feel like I'm in Africa. They really know how to welcome there. Praise God. Well, I just got back from Uganda, so I might be preaching kind of fast because they do worship at a whole different level than we do, you know. So look out. But anyway, we're just back from mission in Uganda. We went to the city of Kampala in Uganda, and it was a wonderful mission. I got back Tuesday. My body's here, but not all of me's here yet. So, because I'm still waking up early in the morning. But it was great to be there. There's a few people here that came with us. Is Sarah, you want to stand up for just a minute? Sarah came with us. And we have some visitors here. You can keep standing unless it's too painful. Bert and Delisa, could you stand as well? Yay. Hallelujah. And so Sarah came, and Sarah was just loving on people. She was helping train women leaders that we were there. She did a great job. We really appreciate what you did there. Prayed for the sick. You know, we have a healing tent. Thousands of people come for healing and deliverance. So Bert and Delisa were also with us. Thank you for visiting today. Bert was on the streets, giving Christ to everybody on the streets. One situation was he got out of the van, and this guy runs up to him and says, "I'm a Muslim, I want to become a Christian." And Bert says, "Well, I can't give you being a Christian, but I can show you Jesus." And so he led him to Jesus. Because we don't talk religion when we're there, we talk Jesus, following Jesus. Amen. And he also led people to Christ at some schools. He's pictures of him surrounded by kids. So awesome, Bert, well done. And Delisa was there. She helped me out with the key leaders, the pastors and key leaders of the churches there. So Delisa, thank you for all you did as well. So thank you, everyone, for coming with us. Praise God. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, Delisa is Mary Allen's daughter. Yes, that's, yes. Hallelujah. And we have Mary Allen's granddaughter here, Tierra. Hi, Tierra. And great-granddaughter, Roxy. Hallelujah. And at a famous clinic, they told her she wouldn't get pregnant, right? And she was sick for 8 years. She got healed, and now she's got Roxy. So what do they know about God, right? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so if you want to know more about Forest Glory Ministries and what we're doing around the world, you can talk to them, Sarah, and or John, because he's gone on a couple missions with us, so you can talk to them. I brought some flyers if you'd like more information about the ministry. They're out on the tape of the counter out there, so it's on Forest Glory Ministries. Feel free to take one. I was a pastor here in St. Louis. Actually in this building, actually, if you want to know. But the Lord said, "Hey, I want to take you on the mission field. So I want you to give the church the assistant pastors, and I want you to go out. I'm not going to tell you yet where you're going or who you're going to be with, but I want you to go." And so I dropped everything. I dropped my income, and I went out. And then I met a gentleman who had founded Forest Glory Ministries, and we began to talk, and then he said, "I'd like you to come on staff." And I went over and I talked to my wife, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. And I said, "You know, I've been asked to go to Rwanda with this ministry. They want to have me on staff. It looks based on their finances that it might be tight financially for us. But I feel God calling us." And I said, "Are you okay with that?" And she said, "Mark," she said, "honey, if I live in a van with you, I'll be content." Amen. Hallelujah, huh? I said, "I hope it doesn't come to that." But I'm glad you're in. So it was special. So we go out into Africa right now. We're actually about ready to lay out. By 2027, we'll have the whole continent set up for disciple-making movements by 2027, and then we'll move to another continent. And I'm wrestling with my partner in the ministry on which continent. Because I want to come to Central and South America, he wants to go to Asia. So pray that we go to Central and South America.
No.
We're already working in India on Zoom. So we go and launch disciple-making movements, and we are a global ministry. We're unique in the sense that we've combined Billy Graham-type festivals, you know, like with the platform and you preach, with the disciple-making model that came out of China called Training for Trainers, T4T. And it's so effective, it's just blowing us all away. We can't even fathom what God's doing with this model. The preaching at the Crusades, that draws the churches in a city together. It creates unity in the city. And then when we have that unity with the pastors and church leaders, we end up having the chance to train them on how to release all their people into the ministry. And so it's called Training for Trainers. And so everyone becomes a minister in the church. And they go out and they start transforming the church. And I always talk about an analogy of playing soccer, where the devil's fielding 11 players and we're fielding the pastor. No wonder we're getting run over, right? Because he's trying to go and kick a goal. He's trying to play goalkeeper. You know, that's why the pastors around the world, 70% of them are burning out, because they're doing most of the work. So in Africa right now, they're ready to embrace this model, and it's just exploding. And I was looking at a video I had sent up for Tom to have in England. And I was looking at the results we had then. And we had, at that point, we had 4 million people had come to Christ through our ministry. Wow. But now it's 9 million. So in 2024, we had 4 million. Now we have 9 million that come to Christ through this disciple-making thing. And on that same video in 2024, we had 2.2 million people in small groups, discipleship groups. Now we have 5 million in 500,000 groups. Hallelujah. And you know, under our ministry, we have 500,000 small group leaders who are under our ministry as volunteers. 500,000. Praise God, out of this little church here, we are changing the world. And so this model is so exciting. So I got involved in the model because as a pastor, I was seeing, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And we were blessed to have a couple disciples a year come to us, right? Not to mention the nations. How am I going to reach the nations? But I saw these guys, and they were doing it. And for $5 a soul, they were leading people to Christ. You take all, bless you. Bless you. $5 a soul. I thought, what a deal. I can give them, I can support them monthly. And now I'm doing what Jesus called me to do, and I'm having an impact around the world. But little did I know that they'd rope me in. You know, they call me the reluctant missionary because I want to stay home. I want to stay home with Kathy. I want to stay home with you guys. I don't want to go to Africa. But once you start going, you learn so much, and they're such sweet people. And Jesus said, go where the fields are white to harvest. Amen. Right? And right now, Africa and India and a couple other places in Asia are the place where God's open and moving right now. So you go where they're moving. I got a nasty note from a guy. Why are you going to Africa when we got trouble here in Missouri and Illinois? Well, that's where it's open. Right now, we're so stuck on ourselves. We're not ready to go and launch disciple-making movements. But the day is coming with what I've learned in Africa, we're going to be able to use here. Because when there's a shaking here, people will be open to the gospel, and we'll be able to launch disciple-making movements in America. Amen? It's coming. It's coming. We're ready. We have groups the DR Congo, where we have over 2 million people in discipleship groups in the DR Congo. The very place where the violence, those three cities that were taken over by rebels, were the same three key cities that we had movements in. And so our people were there to minister to the hurting people who didn't know what to do in the midst of the violence. We had over 2 million people in those three cities waiting for them to help them. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And they've come out of it, and they're gathering more and more people into the ministry, and it's just exploding now in Eastern Congo in spite of the violence. Amen? Amen. So God's doing amazing things. I get excited because I you know, it's exciting. Hallelujah. Wow, it is. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And so there's some pictures from our recent trip to Uganda. And you can see, if you look at the bottom picture, that's actually a crusade. And so that's what we use to gather people, the churches, to come together. And right now, they've kind of 20,000 decision cards from that group so far. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this meeting, we had more youth with us this time than we've ever had. We had six people in their teens or early 20s. And there's a young man preaching, and he did a great job. He's actually the son of Rob Welch, our evangelist. And so he was preaching. 17. And then on the right, we have some youngsters. It's about them, right? We want to launch disciple-making movements so their parents and their siblings know Jesus and can lead them to Christ. Amen? Amen? And then at the end, you know, so many people have come to Christ. So much was done. I mean, the youth were out on the stage, and they were dancing and having a blast. So it was exciting. We met at the zoo because it was next to the airport, and we had a lot of time to wait for our plane. So we were hanging out at the zoo. And so there's a picture we took at the zoo. You can see Sarah there on the left. She just loved on everybody. Just. And there I am. On the right, and that's our team, the U.S. and Africa team, most of it. And so I wrote, the joy of knowing the gospel of who you are in Christ. The gospel is the good news that God brought a kingdom here. Yes. And if you have the king living in you, you are in the kingdom. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But when you have the king in you, you enter the kingdom of God. We live in two kingdoms. And when you enter the kingdom, there's great joy because it's not your joy, it's the joy of the Lord. Yeah. And the one thing, the main thing Jesus was about was bringing his kingdom to the earth. And so when we do what he says, like making disciples of all nations or bringing forth his kingdom, he has joy. And then that joy spills into us. Amen?
Amen.
And so the joy of the gospel, because the gospel tells you who you are. It's not just about the good news of the kingdom coming. It also tells us who we are in the kingdom. And there's a concept in the gospel called the glory of God. And we're going to talk about that. There's a lot of depth in the concept of God's glory. And if you really grab onto it today, if you're wrestling with a sin pattern or an addiction of some kind or something in your life you don't like, what we're talking about today is actually how you get set free. Because we are already free. Jesus has already conquered all sin. And so we are already free. He's already given us liberty in him, but it's in our spirit. So how do I get what's in my spirit into my soul? The battle in this life is in our soul. The Bible says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's already in us, which is able to save our soul. You see, we become born of the spirit when we get born again. We get a new spirit in Christ. He that is joined into Christ is one spirit with him. When we get born again, we get a brand new spirit in Christ. There's no wrestling between our old nature and new nature. That old nature is gone. It died in Christ. We have a new nature, completely new in our spirit in Christ. We need a lot of religion to confuse this, and we've had a lot. But we are new creatures. The Bible says that he that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. Well, how come I'm not so new in my life? It's because it's in my head. I have head knowledge. I agree with God, with God saying, I'm born of the Spirit because I confessed and believe in Jesus Christ, but it hasn't gotten into my soulish heart. Okay? And it's because I don't know who I am. It's because we don't know who we are. So we're going to talk about that today because that relates to glory. Know who you are. Knowing your identity in Christ is everything. It's everything because there's two worlds. There's this world and there's and the kingdom of God. And if you don't know your identity, you're in the wrong world. Amen. You got to know who you are in the kingdom. When we know who we are in the kingdom and we meditate and we think about who we are in the kingdom, we stop listening to the voice of the world. We start listening to the voice of truth on who we really are in the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. And so how can we believe if we don't know who we are? Jesus said, how can you believe since you accept glory one from another, but do not seek the glory that comes from God alone? We can't even believe. And Jesus is having a whole conversation with the religious leaders. And he's telling them, you know, you search the scriptures looking for eternal life, but they speak of me. You're not going to find them in the scriptures. First you find me, then you find eternal life, right? Amen? And so they were missing it. And so then he tells them, "You, how can you believe who accept glory one from another? And not the glory that comes from God only." And then it goes on to say, glory, this is not the Bible, this is what I put up there, okay. Glory in the Greek is the word doxa. It's in the Hebrew, it's a different word. But doxa, that's where we get the song doxology, right? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm not going to sing because I really can't, okay? But doxa means, it's what you're giving glory to God. You're praising God for his attributes. We just spent time praising God and worshiping God. We were telling God who we believe he is, right? That's glory. We were glorifying God by saying his attributes. And he comes back to us and says, these are your attributes. And so when God gives you glory, he's actually telling you who he says you are in his kingdom. The word glory, which primarily signifies God's opinion and how he manifests himself, particularly in the person of Christ. That's right out of most accepted Greek dictionaries. That's exactly what it says. One of the primary meanings of the word glory is God's opinion, which is reality. You go through 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 15, it talks about God creating everything. He created the stars. That was their glory. The stars' glory differ from the glory of the moon. Their glory differs from the glory of the animals and fish. Everything has its glory because God said, I'm creating you and this is who you are and this is your glory. And so when he made man, he said he's very good. His glory when he made Adam was, Adam, you are very good. That's your glory. Amen? He goes on to say, glory in general means the manifestation of God's kingdom on earth as well as the praise of God and man. So when we glorify God, we're praising him, right? And the splendor of God's influence in creation. So it means a lot. So if I was sitting out there, I'd be taking a picture of that. Because that is what you need to overcome every addiction in your life. You do not have a sin problem. You have an identity problem. Amen? And it's because we can't believe when we accept glory one from another. And that's me. I am a people pleaser. I fill my schedule with stuff people want me to do. Seriously. And God wakes me up and says, Mark, you're overdoing it again. Remember, not more than three things, right? I'm a people pleaser. You know, I grew up being told, you know, what will the neighbors think? What will your teacher think? You know? And so I've been set up to accept glory from man, from human beings, right? And so I look to human beings for their favor. Am I doing a good job? Am I good enough? And I'm receiving that from people. And that is a trap. And it keeps me from believing in God in the fullness. Right. Yes. Amen? Yes. So we need to learn to shift the opinion of ourselves that we receive from human beings to God. Yes. And what God says in his word. Amen? Amen? Amen. And it takes some practice, but we can get there. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doxa. Glory from God and God alone. God says some amazing things about us. He says, don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that your body are the members of Christ? Don't you know that you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Don't you know that you're the head and not the tail? You're above and not beneath? I don't have to worry about the curses. Jesus, Galatians 3:13, he bore the curse. I don't have to worry about the curses, but I get all the blessings because I'm in Christ. Amen? I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. And all that I put my hand to is blessed. That is who I am. That is the glory God's given me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So God says who Jesus is. He gives Jesus glory. Jesus goes to be baptized. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Matthew 3:16-17. And so God gave glory to Jesus. Jesus comes up out of the water. He says, "This is the Son I love, in whom I'm well pleased." That's glory. He was actually saying who Jesus is. Amen? Hallelujah. What a powerful thing. And you know, the devil was listening to that. Right? The devil heard it too. And you know what the devil does with us? He comes after our glory. He comes after our identity. He wants to destroy our identity. Because if we know our identity in Christ, he can't touch us. The devil tries. I always put him in a small letter. I never give him a capital letter when I put his name down. I'm glad. I never give him a capital. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, small t, he said to him, "If you be the Son of God, command these stones become bread." And so there is no law in the Bible saying thou shalt not turn stones to bread. That's not the sin. That wasn't really the temptation. Because, you know, you could actually open up a bakery. It could be Jesus and disciples, stones to bread bakery. And you could have stones come in at one end, Jesus could turn them to bread, and the bread comes out the other end. And that would not be a sin. It'd be a pretty good enterprise, right? The sin was not turning stones to bread, just like turning water to wine was not a sin. Unless you're in certain religions that he actually turned wine to water. But anyway, I digress. So turning stones to bread is not a sin. What the sin would be doubting your identity, because the first temptation was actually not turning stones to bread. It was actually doubting that he was the Son of God. He said, "If you be the Son of God, prove it to me." Like we're trying to prove it to people, right? I'm not supposed to get my meaning like by proving who I am to you. I'm not. I'm supposed to follow him and him alone. Amen. Amen. And so if Jesus had fallen to that and turned stones to bread to prove to the devil who he was, he would have fallen into the trap of doubting his identity. Yeah. Wow. Amen. So he overcame the devil with a scripture, and he overcame him two more times. And then a short time after that, he took just a few loaves and fishes and fed 15 or 20,000 people. Amen. Hallelujah. When you know your identity, miracles start to follow you. Sure. You know, we don't follow signs. But if you follow Jesus, signs will follow you. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus gives us his glory, which is his identity. So the final prayer of Jesus is in John chapter 17. And he turns from his disciples and he prays for everyone who will believe on him through them, which is us. And so this part of the prayer is for us. And so he says, "And the glory you gave me, I have given them. The glory you have given me, I have," past tense, "given them." And so the glory the Father gave Jesus, Jesus has given us. And that's the glory that he had at his baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration, that we are the sons and daughters that God loves and whom he's well pleased. Well, God, you don't know what I've done. Yes, he does. And he still gives you his glory and he still loves you unconditionally. Amen? Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He didn't say, "I'll never leave you except when you sin." He said, "I'll never leave you." If I make a mistake and he leaves me, then he's not telling the truth. Correct. Amen? So how does he hang around when I make a mistake? Because the Holy Spirit has sealed my spirit with the Holy Spirit of promise. So I'm a three-part being, right? I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. A new creature is a person with a new spirit. And my spirit man is one with Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit, so nothing bad can get in my spirit. And so wherever I go, God's a spirit. He sees me through the spirit, and he sees me through Jesus. As John said earlier, through the blood. Amen? 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 And so I can be perfect in God's sight, even though I'm imperfect in your sight. Amen? And I am. You know, my goal is to lose 20 pounds. Right now, I got 30 pounds to go. Hallelujah. You know, when you go to Africa, you live in a carb fest. You just have a lot of carbs. Hallelujah. That's all. Yeah. If you're bold enough to eat it at all. And the glory which you gave me, Jesus talking to the Father, the glory which you gave me, I have given them. You can stand before the Father as if you're Jesus Christ. And he says other promises that are ours too here. He says, the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one as we are one. You know, we are one.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know what that means, but I think if you look in the Spirit, you're going to see this blending of all our souls together as one family. Amen? Hallelujah. I in them, he's in us. If you're a believer in Jesus, Jesus is in you, right? I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me. How's the world going to know that God sent Jesus? When we become one.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That you have sent me and loved them as you have loved me. Do you know that God loves you the same way he loves Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God's in us. We're in him.
Amen.
You know, the Hebrews chapter 10 says that by one sacrifice, Jesus put away sin forever. That means sin's been put away. Amen?
Amen.
When I came to know Jesus, sin was put away for me. Amen? And when I get the truth of who he is in my heart, these patterns of sin that are still in my flesh, they just start to fade away because now I'm listening to the King. Amen? Hallelujah. And so Hebrews 10, by one sacrifice, Jesus put away sin forever and is seated at the right hand of the Father from henceforth expecting until his enemies be under his feet. What are his feet? We are his feet. We are his feet. And so I don't know what your eschatology is. I don't know your rapture. If you're waiting for the rapture for God to pull you out of here, I don't know if you're waiting for Jesus to come back immediately, but I think those things are secondary to what Jesus has promised 8 times in the Bible. It's 8 times. It's in Hebrews 10, but it's 7 other times, where he says, I'm waiting for my church, my ecclesia, my called out ones from the world who are supposed to rule in the world. Those, I'm waiting for those people to get my enemies under their feet. So that, I believe, is next. That the church around the world is waking up to who we are in Christ. And the enemies of God are going to be under our feet. Poverty under our feet. Hate under our feet. Sickness and disease under our feet. Fear under our feet. And demons and devils under our feet. Amen? That's where they belong. That's where they should be. Amen? As long as we know who we are. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul kind of wraps up this whole conversation in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. But the ministry of death, written and engraven in stones, that's the Ten Commandments, was glorious. So the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. You remember when he came down the mountain, he had spent 40 days with God, and he was full of glory. And he comes down the mountain and he's carrying the Ten Commandments, and the people couldn't look at him because they were seeing the light through the law, and they were feeling shame because they don't measure up to the law, right? That's the old covenant, right?
Right.
Moses, because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. Verse 8, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? That's the new covenant in Christ. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in comparison, in respect, because of the glory that excels. The old covenant has no glory as you compare it to the new covenant in Christ. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. So I don't have a veil, but in lieu of a veil, I brought a hat. And so Moses came down, and he had to cover his face so that they could look, talk to him. right, about what happened in the Mount. Because what was happening was the light from him was shining through the law on their heart. And their hearts were perceiving the light of God through the law. And they knew they don't measure up, and so they couldn't look at Moses. So he wore this veil. But even today, you know, when we haven't turned to Christ, that veil is still over our heart.
That's right.
When you don't have Jesus, this veil is over your heart. And even after we become born again, if we're still looking to our performance as the thing that we need to do to relate to God, if we're looking at our performance as makes us right or wrong with God, then the veil is still over my heart, even though I'm born again. Because even though I've received Christ in my spirit, and I'm born again, born of the Spirit, I still have the ways of the old covenant of looking at God in my heart. Amen? But when we get over that, when we remove the veil from our heart, we begin to see who we are more clearly. And then the authority of God starts to resonate with us, and the power of the Holy Spirit starts to flow through us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. On their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Amen?
Amen.
The veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Have you ever thought about what the word liberty means? We have it on flags and stuff. And I learned the meaning of liberty from a guy who came here from India. His name is Dinesh D'Souza. And he wanted to be a writer. But he was born in India to an engineering family, and in India, you have to follow what your family does. So he came to America so he could have the liberty of being who God called him to be. Amen? So liberty means being free to be who God called you to be. Amen? That's liberty. It doesn't mean freedom to do whatever you want. It means freedom to be who he made you to be. Amen? That's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the mirror is the Word of God.
Yeah.
The mirror is the Bible. We see ourselves in a mirror, the mirror of Scripture. Amen? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we are transformed from glory to glory. And so through the context of what we've been reading, we've been talking about two glories. The glory of us under the law, or the glory of us in Christ. And so it's contrasting two separate glories in context. Now some new translations, they miss the context of the chapter because they say there's an ever increasing glory, like we're going up a ladder. But you know what? There is no ladder of glory to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. We're not going to get more and more glory on our way to heaven. We're changed from the glory under the law, under the covenant, where we were wanting, where we weren't enough, to the glory in Christ, where we are perfect in God's sight. Amen. Amen. And so we lose the veil, and we've been given robes of righteousness. And so I have this robe of righteousness that I'm going to put on, because this is how God sees us. He clothes us in his robe. So what do you think? So, it's actually how God sees us. He sees us in robes of righteousness. Go read Isaiah 61. It talks about we are given robes of righteousness as believers. And so the reason why I'm different now is I'm in righteousness. I'm in Christ. He that confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. I dwell in God and God dwells in me. I have robes of righteousness. Amen? And so I have been transformed from the way God saw me. See, remember the word glory means God's opinion. If we start reading the Bible with the words that they really mean, the Bible starts to take on a new depth.
Yeah.
Like sin means separation. Righteousness means being connected. It doesn't have to be a religious term. Am I connected to God in my mind or in righteousness, or am I separated in sin? Amen?
Right. Right.
That's it.
Hallelujah. You know, one time Jesus appeared to me in my room, and he was dressed like this. And he showed me Training for Trainers, T for T. It was in 1992. And he appeared to me in my room, and he showed me a continuous trail of people going off infinitely. He showed me T for T. He was the man in white, like they're seeing in Iran right now. All these people are seeing Jesus appear to them. He knew that there'd be a lot of pushback on T for T, so he wanted to show me himself, so I would hang in there, you know? But we are changed. We are changed from the glory that God saw us, God's opinion of us under the law, under the old covenant, before we knew Christ. He changed us from that opinion where we were not enough. Now we've been changed to a new opinion of God where we're in Christ and we have all we need. Amen? We've been changed from one glory to another. It's been done. Remember, religion is due. Christianity is done. It's all been done in Christ. Amen? So if you'll bear with me for a minute, I'd like to do a little exercise. I'd like everyone to just get calm, if you can. I know there's children here, they can get calm too. And I just like to imagine, close your eyes and imagine Jesus in front of you. Jesus is God and man, so he can be in front of every one of us all at the same time. And just ask Jesus, what false identity have I been given from someone in the world that I have believed that's holding me back from all you have for me? So just close your eyes and just ask Jesus, Lord, is there any false identity that I have believed that I need to let go of? And when he gives you that, give it to him. Hand it to him and see what he does with it. Amen. So let's just take a couple minutes. Now that if he hasn't shown you something, just hang in there. He will over time, over the next few days, he'll show you. Now that he's given you something and he's taken it from you, you need to fill that with something from him. So ask him something of your true identity. We have the same identity in Christ that when we get born again, we're God's beloved sons and daughters in whom he's well pleased. That's our core identity. But we were formed in the womb for a purpose that the world needs. Ask him what that purpose is. Just take a moment. Amen. Now I asked that, I actually had a list of false identities, so I gave that to Jesus. And it wasn't that day that he showed me what he created me for, but like a day or two later I had a dream and I saw myself appear on the stage and I was working on that bank of lights. They were down on the stage and I was fixing them. All I had was a screwdriver. I don't know what he wanted me to do with that, but. And I said, what's this, Lord? He says, I have called you to be a repairer of the lamps. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, you're going to go and help people get free of some of the things that have been holding them back so they can shine. Amen? Amen. And so I just want to say to everyone, know your glory. Know your identity. Jesus Christ loves you, and he's given you his glory. Amen? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. You are such a great God. Yeah, and thank you for wanting to include us. It's no longer just the Trinity anymore. We're the temple the Trinity lives in. So thank you, Lord, for including us now in all you do in the earth. Yes. We thank you. Help us learn who we are and how we fit in your kingdom to further it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. 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 Awesome. Sure, John. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
Awesome.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We always have people up here for prayer, and we're going to have a couple of teams up here, and maybe they'll just stay up front. And if you need prayer, if you'd like prayer, just to seal some of these things that's been spoken today in your life, just please.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.